From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
This is Bill Chadwick, Northwest Surety Company.
Howdy, Bill. How are things in Seattle?
Oh, not bad, Johnny, not bad. Hey, tell me, have you ever fallen to the spell of the Yukon?
What are you trying to do, sell me some mining stock?
No, but there's a mine I'd like to have you take a look at.
Up in the Yukon?
Well, actually, it's across the border in Alaska. It's a gold mine, a big one, sitting on top of a rich vein. Why don't you fly on out here? Let me tell you about it.
Why not? Shall I bring my own pick and shovel?
No. No, Johnny.
Huh?
Just be sure you bring your gun.
Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Northwest Surety Company, Seattle, Washington office. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Midnight Sun matter. Item 1, $164.35, transportation to New York, then a mainliner through Chicago to Seattle. The pilot gave us a beautiful view of Mount Rainier and Puget Sound before we set down, and at 4 p.m. I was in Bill Chadwick's office at 2nd Avenue and Yesler Way.
I'm glad to see you, Johnny. It's been a long time.
Yeah, hiya, Bill.
Yeah, here you sit down.
Okay. Now, what was that crack over the phone about bringing along a gun?
Well, the men who moil for gold are a pretty tough bunch, Johnny. And sometimes it even goes for the management of a big mining operation.
Like what, for instance?
Like Universal Consolidated Mining Corporation.
Where's that?
It's north and east of Fairbanks.
Alaska?
Yes, even north of Fort Yukon. That means above the Arctic Circle.
And what's happened up there?
The whole thing sits at the foot of a big glacier.
Oh?
No problem until recently. Now, through some freak of nature, that glacier is changing its course.
No kidding.
And from the look of things, maybe a couple of months, maybe a couple of years, or even 10 years. Anyhow, they seem to think that glacier is going to sweep down over the mines, the town, everything.
I see.
In which case, our company would have to pay for the whole loss.
An all-coverage policy, huh?
Yeah. And it's occurred to me, Johnny, suppose they've suddenly run out of that rich vein they found up there.
You mean that somehow they deliberately caused that glacier to destroy the whole operation?
It's a possibility, isn't it?
Well, a pretty far-fetched one, if you ask me. Change the course of a glacier?
A few sticks of dynamite, carefully placed.
Oh, come off it, Bill. Did you ever see a glacier?
Well, why should one that's been following the same path for thousands of years suddenly decide to head for a few million dollars worth of well-insured property? Hey, look. Go up there and take a look, will you?
Okay. How do I get there?
One of the company's planes is taking off from here tomorrow morning.
They have their own airplanes?
Oh, sure. A lot of them. Big two-engine speedcraft transports. How else do you think they'd get men and supplies up there? Anyway, you can go along with it. Okay?
Okay, why not? Who knows? Maybe I'll strike it rich, come back loaded with nuggets. Item 2, $31 even for my room at the Benjamin Franklin and a night on the town. The following morning, well, I suppose I should have wondered why a big cargo plane should take off from a tiny airport far out of town with only the pilot and me on board. Yep, I should have wondered.
Act 2 of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment.
Our flag now numbers 50 stars, and behind each star there stands yet another flag representing one of the 50 states. Louisiana's state flag displays a pelican feeding its young. The pelican is represented, as she has been from time immemorial, standing in her nest in the act of tearing at her breast and feeding her young with the blood from this self-inflicted wound, a symbol of loyal devotion to her family. The state motto, Union, Justice, and Confidence, is enscrolled beneath this scene. Louisiana's state flag, the flag of the 18th state to enter the Union, was adopted on July 1st, 1912.
And now, Act 2 of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and the Midnight Sun Matter.
With Within a few minutes after I met him at the airport far east of town the next morning, Cliff Murray had the big twin-engine speed craft airborne, and we were heading north to Alaska.
And in case you're interested, Dollar, you're the co-pilot on this run.
Oh, are you kidding? The only things I've steered around the sky since the war have been Piper Cubs, small jobs.
You know something? When you get onto them, these babies are not only just as easy to fly, but a whole lot safer. Want to take over for a while?
Well, maybe later. Hey, how come you didn't take this big ship off at the Seattle-Tacoma International Airport?
Because of the cargo we have on board. Also, it was quicker and easier to get clearance. We're trying to make time on this trip. The boys up the mine are a pretty worried bunch these days.
Oh, why?
Now, there's a big glacier on one side of the property.
Oh.
It flows down to make the Kanakai River. When it gets warm enough, a couple of months in the year to melt.
That's all?
But there have been a couple of big ice quakes this spring. Just like earthquakes, only it's ice. Now that glacier's heading for the property.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's going to wipe out the airport and everything. Unless they can do something about it.
Like what? Divert the course of a glacier?
The engineers up there say they can do it. And we've got the stuff for them right here. This cargo we're toting.
What do you mean?
Well, didn't you know?
Know what?
Why, we got enough TNT aboard to move a dozen glaciers.
Speaking of sitting on a powder keg, and this one had wings. But then after the first shock of realization wore off, well, I even took up Cliffy on his offer to handle the controls for a while. And he was right. The big plane behaved like a doll. By the time we reached Anchorage to pick up mail and food, why, I was all set to make the landing myself. However, with a cargo of TNT aboard, I was perfectly content to let Cliff set her down, which he did beautifully. Then within the hour, we headed north again over some of the wildest country I've ever seen.
Beautiful, though, Johnny, in its own way.
Yeah, I never realized there were so many lakes and streams up in this country, Cliff.
Most of them are loaded with fish, too.
Oh?
Yes, sir. Some...
Well, what is it?
I said, greatest fishing in this man's world is right down there below us.
Oh, watch your language, brother. I'm able to strap on a chute and leave you to make the rest of the trip alone.
A fisherman, huh?
Yeah, you aren't kidding.
Yeah, one of my favorite spots right...
Hey, what's the matter?
Nothing. Just a little twitch in my side, my belly. Doc said it was appendicitis last time, but he didn't want to operate unless... Holy... Baby, that was a sharp one.
Cliff, anything I can do?
No, it's going now.
Sure hope so.
Ah, sure, sure. Just came on kind of sudden, so... Hey, it's time to call the lads at the mine to be ready for us.
How big is the airport up there?
11,000 foot runway.
Really?
Sure. It's the only way to get stuff in for mines 100 miles around. Speedcraft 231, calling Consolidated. Go ahead, please.
Somebody on duty there at all times?
24
Roger,
hours...
Roger, 231, go ahead.
We're over Fairbanks on the hour, Charlie.
Roger, Cliff, over Fairbanks at 1,400 hours.
Then roll out the carpet. We'll set down between 1,445 and 50.
Roger, Cliff, we'll be ready for you.
And that's that. In less than an hour, Johnny, we... Johnny, take over!
Sure, Cliff.
Never been this bad before.
Now, listen.
No. You listen. No. No matter what happens, take it easy. I'll tell you exactly what to... You can do it, Johnny. You can do it. Now, listen.
Act three of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment.
We live in a world of symbols and signs, abbreviations and slogans. What do they mean to us? Well, of course, that depends. Take the flag of the United States, for example. There's a symbol that is respected throughout the world and cherished by citizens of the United States. But there's a reason for it. It stands for the power and the glory, the fairness and progress of the United States, based on long years of historic tradition. The Medal of Honor is another symbol, a symbol of the highest sort, based on historic truths and traditions, and won by gallant action above and beyond the call of duty. How did it all get started? Just listen to this. Before the Civil War, there were no permanent awards given to the men of the armed forces of the United States for doing their jobs. No, not even when the job was beyond the call of duty. Fighting men did what they could because it had to be done. In 1862, less than 24 Union Army enlisted men, who became known as the Mitchell Raiders, volunteered to make a secret penetration deep into enemy territory, steal an express train right out of the Confederate camp, and run it up north tearing up tracks, burning bridges, and cutting wires on the way in order to disrupt enemy communications. Only moments before reaching their own lines again, with the mission accomplished, the train ran out of fuel. The men tried to escape, but were captured and thrown into prison. Most of them were executed as spies. The others, expecting the same fate, made a brave and dangerous attempt to escape. Six of them were recaptured and later exchanged for Confederate prisoners. When they reported to Washington, D.C., they were awarded the first medals of honor ever given to American soldiers. In their gallant and intrepid actions to do everything possible to fight to win, and when captured, to escape and fight again, they maintained an established code of conduct for American fighting men everywhere. What the Mitchell Raiders did is symbolic of what keeps America a great nation. Now is a good time to examine your own code of conduct.
And now, Act Three of yours truly, Johnny Dollar and the Midnight Sun Matter.
The rest of this report will have to come to you from the records of the airport there at Universal Consolidated Mining Corporation, far above the Arctic Circle. Aboard the big cargo plane loaded with TNT, the pilot crippled with pain, I was a little too busy to make notes to scribble any fancy dialogue. Here then is the story as recorded at the tower of the airport.
The time is 2:35.
Well, there goes the boss's plane to pick up his daughter in Fairbanks, Charlie.
Hey, Paul, isn't Cliff about due as 231? He said he'd sit down at a...
Speedcraft 231 calling Consolidated.
Hey, is that Cliff?
Speedcraft 231 calling Consolidated.
It doesn't sound like him. Hello, Cliff.
No, this is Johnny Dollar.
Dollar?
Yeah, it's his passenger. Go ahead, Johnny.
Cliff is... Well, look, I've had to take over for him. He's sick. Cliff is... Cliff will give me whatever instructions I need.
You sure you can make it, Johnny?
Johnny, this is Cliff.
Go ahead, Cliff.
Johnny can make it.
Well, what about that cargo, that TNT? Can you dump it?
I can't move to dump it, and Johnny can't leave the controls.
Okay, then, Johnny, we'll give you all the help we can from here.
Thanks, Charlie.
Have you passed the Snake River marker?
In about 2 minutes, I think.
Okay, now just remember, your letdown is on a heading of 035 degrees from that marker.
035 degrees from the Snake River marker, Roger.
And, well, now just take it easy, Johnny, and we'll get you down here okay.
Thanks, Charlie.
Paul, it looks like we may have a problem on our hands.
Listen, if Cliff says Dollar can bring it down, he can. Just you take it easy when you talk with him.
Yeah, sure, Johnny. Stand by.
Take it, Paul.
Johnny, this is Paul Foster. Go ahead.
Paul, we're having some trouble getting our landing gear down, so I'm going to make some steep banks and try to get it down by centrifugal force.
Yeah, good.
You might get the ground crew to stand by, though, because if we can't get the gear down that way, I guess we'll have to make a belly landing gear up.
Okay, Johnny, I got that. How much fuel have you got on board?
About 2,000 pounds.
Johnny, this is Charlie again. Now, listen.
Easy.
Oh, yeah. Johnny, I saw you make your pass. It appears the landing gear door is partially open, which may indicate it's jammed.
Any suggestions?
Paul again, Johnny. The only thing I can think of is try to snap the gear out by a sharp pull-up to give it centrifugal force.
I've tried that, Paul. Results are negative.
All right. Then before we consider you coming in for a belly landing with all that TNT aboard... I'd like to use up some of that fuel. Maybe some of our brains down here can think of something that'll help you out.
Okay. Okay, we'll go ahead with the regular procedures and whatever else we can think of, and then we'll give you another call.
Okay, Johnny.
The time is 2:41.
Johnny? Johnny, this is Paul again. Have you tried to shear the lock pin on that landing gear? Go ahead.
Negative. No, we haven't tried that yet. We want to make sure the doors were not jammed partially closed and perhaps make it impossible to get all the gear up again. You know, if we do have to make a belly landing.
Yeah. Okay. Johnny, have you got full hydraulic pressure?
Yes, that's affirmative.
Okay. Now, the crew chief isn't up here at the moment.
But I'll ask him to come up, and he can discuss it with you.
Right.
Johnny, if it does become necessary to make a belly landing because of the setup they have for handling accidents, you might be better off to do it at Fairbanks. Have you thought about that?
I talked to Cliff here. He doesn't think they'd want us to try it with this TNT we've got aboard.
Uh-huh. Well, we'll radio to him and see. Meanwhile, if anybody comes up with any idea at all, we'll pass it on to you right away.
Okay. I'll give you a gas check in a few minutes.
Okay.
The time is 2:50.
Johnny, Don Wilkins, our chief engineer, would like to talk to you. I'll put him on the horn.
Johnny, this is Don Wilkins. Have you tried the landing gear handle up and down quite a few times to see if it extends any further at any time?
Yeah, we've tried it several times.
Well, I think I'd try it as many times as possible, Johnny. There could be something binding that may break loose. Now, there's something on it. Well, it comes off the gear door latches, all right, so it isn't a latch.
I'll try it a few more times.
The time is 3:00. Exactly.
Johnny, this is Paul. How's your fuel situation stacking up now?
We have about 950, about 960 pounds.
Well, for your information, Fairbanks have advised that they can't take your airplane there because they're jammed up and couldn't clear the field in time.
Well, yes, okay. It doesn't look like we'd have enough gas to go there anyway.
Johnny, this is Don Wilkins again.
Go ahead, Don.
If you feather the number two engine, and then just as you unfeather it, slam the gear handle down, well, maybe the additional torsion that you get may free the gear.
Okay, Don, we've already tried that, and we came up negative. I think we're stuck with that belly landing.
Johnny, this is Paul. We'll get everything ready for you. Are you VFR in this vicinity? You know, under visual flight rules?
Yes, affirmative.
Johnny, there's one more thing we'd like to have you try, and that is completely unload your hydraulic system. And then try free-falling your landing gear. Did you get that?
I did that twice, Don. No luck with it. But we'll try it again.
All right, Johnny. Fine.
The time is 3:28.
Johnny, we're going ahead with preparations for a belly landing down here. I see you buzzed the field a couple of times, so you know how much room you've got.
You think it looks like much from up here?
Now listen, we're going to foam the runway for you. You hear me? Put foam on it. We're doing it now, and that'll kill some of the friction. And if we can get enough on, it'll help against fire if you have any trouble.
How's the wind down there?
It's south, about 3 miles an hour, just a light breeze.
Well, I want to know in case this thing slides off to one side or the other. I don't want to run down any of the other airplanes I can see down there. Not if we can help it.
Okay, Johnny, take a run directly over the runway and get the feel of it.
Will do.
The time is 3:31.
Johnny, we don't want to seem in the position here of telling you all your business, but I guess we've got to try everything anyone could think of.
Yeah, go ahead.
On this gear handle business, up and down, throw it in the up position, but just leave it there for a second, and then slam it down and leave it down for, say, 30 seconds after you put it down. You get that?
Okay, we'll do that.
Now, we hate to be giving you all this intelligence all the time, but if anybody gets an idea, we pass it on to you for what it's worth. But you've got to be the judge.
We're glad you fellas are with us.
The time is 3:46.
Johnny, how's your fuel now?
I wouldn't bank on it much longer.
All right. They're laying foam on the runway like crazy. But that foam's only going to last about 25 minutes. Now, assuming they started laying the foam at 30, you should land not later than 55.
Yes, well, okay. You give us a word when it's completed. We're going to make one low pass and take a good look at everything. Then we'll come in and land. Okay?
Roger. I got your remarks.
The time is 3:51.
Hi, Johnny. I just wondered how you are and how things look to you.
Okay. You got a doctor standing by to take care of Cliff?
Sure. Everything's ready for you. One comment. Listen. Do not. Repeat. Do not feather the engines when you set down.
Got it. We'll comply.
Okay, Johnny.
Okay, we're all set, Don. We're going to to make a practice pass over the field prior to the final landing.
Okay, Johnny, I won't be talking to you anymore. Paul will take over on your approach and get you down. We're all set for you when you arrive. Good luck.
Yeah. Okay.
The time is 3:54.
One minute, 48 seconds later, we've made a wheels-up landing. Cliff, the company doctor tells me his appendectomy was a complete success. A hard-bitten bunch of miners, did you say? Listen, those boys up in that lonely outpost are the salt of the earth. And as we're trying to pull something on your insurance company, well, you should have seen how just one good load of TNT put that glacier back on its course. Yes, sir. I hope the vein of gold never runs out for those boys. Expense account total, including gifts for the lads who really brought that plane down, $600 even. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Our star will return in just a moment. Our flag now numbers 50 stars, and behind each star, there stands yet another flag representing one of the 50 states. Oregon's state flag depicts the transition from British colonial rule to entry into the United States of America. This is symbolized by the departure of a British man of war and the arrival of an American merchant ship. Oregon is one of the few states whose banner has a different design on each side. On the reverse side is the Oregon beaver, symbol of the fur trade which opened the Great Northwest, and a symbol which gave Oregon its nickname of the Beaver State. Oregon's state flag, the flag of the 33rd state to enter the Union, was adopted on February 26, 1925.
And now here's our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, well, maybe when they hear it, a lot of wives aren't going to like me too much. But, well, join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood and is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone, who also wrote today's story. Heard in our cast were Gene Tatum, Frank Nelson, Russell Thorson, Barney Phillips, Terry Bartell, and Forrest Lewis. Be sure to join us next week, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Roy Rowan speaking. United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.